Gracious God, we certainly do thank you, Lord, for such glorious light, such magnificent knowledge and comprehension of those things that you have done from eternity. We just come to say thank you this morning. Thank you for the word of God that has given us such elucidation. Hallelujah. Such magnificent blessings to have bestowed upon the elect. We shall forever and ever and ever and ever be grateful. Now, Father, as we come into your word this morning, we ask that you continue to bless us. Continue to shine light. Oh, Father, hallelujah. That we will be inspired and encouraged to do the will of you and call us in such a glorious union. Bless us, Lord. Cause us, Lord, to rise up and be counted as those, Lord, them who know the word, who love the word. I bless these lips of clay and touch my body this morning that I might minister the word of God. And bless us in us all. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn to our normal scriptures as we continue to move forth. This is a continuum. Oh my God. Throughout all eternity, they will be talking about this glorious body of Christ. Hallelujah. My Lord. The center of all attention. The greatest thing that God has ever done. My Lord. We cannot talk about it too much. Oh, hallelujah. What great knowledge that God has so, oh my God, graciously given to the church. Christ. Knowledge too wonderful for men to know. He has reserved it for those of whom he has privileged to know him. And know him in the power of his resurrection. As he dispenses manifestation wise that which he has already accomplished in by decree in eternity. He is just working things out.
That's right.
All right, Elder Deacon Gavin. Our designated reader this morning.
Amen.
Let us turn first to the third chapter of Galatians and verses 26 to 29 and read that. And then Colossians chapter 3 verse 15 as we will read that. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And I think this is where we landed last week. And we shall continue from that point. As always, we're going to go back and recapitulate some things. And, of course, over and over again, continuous, over and over again, continuously, over and over again. You know what? You can't teach this too much. You can't preach about this too much. Amen. There's no such thing as going over Galatians too many times.
No.
Any verse of scripture in our gospel. Of the instructions that are given to us.
Yeah.
The more we hear it, the more we need to hear it. All right, everybody got the third chapter of Galatians, verse 26, amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right, Brother Deacon, read.
Galatians 3:26.
Mm-hmm.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male and female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise.
According to the promise of justification by and through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the third chapter of Galatians. Of Colossians. And let's read that verse. Verse 10 there.
Mm-hmm.
And read verse 10 through 15. We'll do a little reading this morning.
Right.
As we go back and pick up some things that maybe we have expressed before, but like I say, there's no such thing as saying it too much.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Everybody got Colossians 3 and 10, say amen.
Amen.
All right, read.
And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
See what that is saying? One is renewed, it's in the mind. It's in the renewing is that which belongs to knowledge.
Right.
Amen. To be renewed in knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And you see what the emphasis is?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The mind is renewed through knowledge.
Yes.
Through the input of information.
Yes.
Amen. So it does matter what you hear. It does matter what ministry that you sit under.
Absolutely.
It does matter what you know.
Yes.
What you know makes the entire difference.
Mm-hmm.
Of your progress in walking in God.
Yes.
And in living.
Yes.
Amen. Don't ever let anyone tell you that what you don't know it won't hurt you. That I think that's one of the greatest injustices of making a statement.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I mean, what you don't know can be lethal.
Hallelujah.
Oh Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. But this renewing is in the sphere of knowledge. In knowledge.
All right.
Amen. It is the mind. The imaging of him. We won't deal with that this morning, but I know we won't get to that. But it's about looking at the new man in light of that which he has been placed into.
That's right.
So when we said a new man, we're looking at the image of Christ.
Come on here.
The image of each other.
Yeah.
Amen. That's the quickest way to get frustrated is to try in the flesh to emulate the new man.
Yes.
It must be in the spirit.
Yes.
It must be in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Must be in the essence of one walking, living, having their minds.
Yes.
Renewed the spiritual aspect.
Yes.
As the Spirit of God conveys to our spirit.
Yes.
Amen. You know, this is a personal one-on-one thing. Here's the Holy Spirit. I'm preaching, but that doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit doesn't communicate with your spirit, you won't get it.
Thank
Amen.
You.
It's not about the preacher, the skill of the preacher,
mm-hmm.
The eloquence of the preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The preaching is important in that this is God's methodology.
Yes, yes.
But the Holy Spirit hasn't entirely left it up to the preaching.
No, no.
Or the preacher. Mm-hmm. Amen. It is He, the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. that conveys this knowledge mm-hmm. and this understanding.
Yes.
So when the next time you understand something, don't say thank you, Pastor.
No.
Say to thank you, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because here's the one that has brought the light to you.
Yeah.
Y'all don't hear me.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, verse 11, read.
Where there is neither Greek nor Jew.
That's right.
Circumcision nor uncircumcision.
Mm-hmm.
Barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. But Christ is all and in all.
Alright, keep reading.
Put on therefore as the elect of God.
Put on therefore.
Mm-hmm.
As the elect of God.
Holy. And beloved bowels of mercies,
mm-hmm.
kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering.
Now we shall deal with that. We shall exegete some of these verses in the second part. And very shortly now, we'll be handing out to you the second part. Remember, this is section one. We've given to you section 2, and in it mm-hmm. we shall in detail exegete these verses. But I'm reading them now because we're fast tracking a little bit here, because we want to see what the renewing does and mm-hmm. how it works.
Yeah.
Amen. That there is definite benefit
yeah.
in your mind being renewed.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's a glorious benefit to you right now,
mm-hmm.
right here where you live,
mm-hmm.
Each day of your life, as you face the vicissitudes of life, you are renewed in the mind, mm-hmm. and you are not brought to a state of frustration. Some of God's people
Lord.
Just frustrated this
Hallelujah.
Morning. Amen. Because things are not moving
Hallelujah.
In the vein of that which your hopes are.
Yes.
I said to you, readjust those hopes.
Yes.
Amen. Oh my God. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have some goals
yes.
and hopes and things that we have as we travel through. Amen.
Yes.
But your focus must be on your eternal hope.
Yes.
Amen. Which transcends mm-hmm. what's going on around us.
Mm-hmm.
Because at any given time,
mm-hmm.
things can just go haywire.
Yes.
And sometimes they
do. They
do. Amen. But you don't have to go haywire because things have gone haywire.
Glory.
Amen.
Glory.
You can be renewed in the mind.
Glory.
And your renewing in the mind of those is your knowledge of those things that can't go wrong.
Hallelujah.
That you say, well, things are messed up. Well, what things are messed up?
Yes.
Amen. None of the eternal things are messed up this morning.
None.
Oh my God.
None.
Hallelujah.
None.
All right, keep reading that now. We will be back to this. Read.
Verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
Forbearing one another and forgiving one another.
Mm-hmm.
If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye.
See what the motivation of all of this is? See where this is leading us?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Verse 14.
And above all these things,
mm-hmm.
put on charity.
Love.
Mm-hmm. Which is the bond of perfectness.
Mm-hmm.
And let the peace of God.
Now that in there you see, if you got a King James, that put on is italicized, which means what?
Yes,
it wasn't in the original.
There. Amen. So he said, above all love. All
right.
And he said, put it on. You got it now. Oh, my God.
Yes. Yes.
Above all love.
Love.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got it. It's not, love is not something you put on. It's there.
It's there.
Amen. You're an object of love. You're the object of God's love.
Yes.
Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Everything about you
mm-hmm.
being a member of the body of Christ
yes.
is about love.
It is.
Amen.
It is.
Above all, love.
Love.
Which is what?
The bond of perfection.
Amen. I'm not going to, I'm tempted, but I'm not. Keep reading.
And let the peace of God.
And the peace of God.
Rule in your heart. To the which also ye are called.
All right.
In one body. And be ye thankful.
Now, this is one thing here that is, we look at this. And as I said, we will come back and we shall exegete this whole context here. But you are called. You are in the body because you have been summoned.
Yes, sir.
You have nothing to do. It's not about good works. It's not about anything that you brought to the table. And if you feel unworthy to be in the body, that's good. Amen. Huh? You're in trouble if you feel worthy to be in the body.
Yeah.
Amen. For that means that you are in you're in the frame of mind of an illusion. No one is worthy to be in this body.
Nice.
Amen. So it's not about that. And those that teach the doctrine of asceticism, wherein they teach self this, self discipline, self righteous, self control. Amen. Righteousness is good and control is good, but self is no good. move self out of the way. Amen. It is the Spirit of God working through us. Alright. Let's go, amen, to Ephesians chapter 2.
Glory. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh, it's just so much. You wonder why we take almost a year and we put it into this vein? Because it's needed.
Yes.
It's needed.
Yes.
These are the things that we need. Some of the things that are being preached from the pulpit today are just downright ridiculous. Amen. And we're in an election year, and of course we're going to speak to that. And in fact, I can speak to it right now. When that time comes, go to the polls and vote.
All
right. That's it.
All right.
Amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah. But our focus is going to be on that which transcends and that is above. That is far above the essence of where men place their hope. Where men place their aim. And where men place their aspirations. Amen. All of these things that we think are so important, at some point we'll realize that they were not that important at all. No. And you think about, let's go back into the 18th century, let's say 1776. You know what that year is, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's the year of the Declaration of Independence in this country.
Yeah.
And basically said, well, you know, that's very important to us today. Yeah, that is. But you know what? To those that lived in 1776, what does that mean? That we're living at that time. For those who are in the grave that lived, it was important to them then.
Yeah.
I'm saying, what's the importance of it to them now? Amen. And if the Lord tarries another 100 years or so, and we'll, and someone, not we, but I know I won't be a boy, and someone was looking at 2104, amen, and they look back 100 years to the day, amen, it may even matter to them in relationship as to who wins the election this year. And don't get me wrong, now it's important and go exercise your right and the privilege that given to you as a citizen of this country to go and vote. But don't put so much stock there.
That's right.
Yeah,
glory.
100 years from now, it won't matter whether John Kerry or George W. Bush won the election. Now, you say, yes, it will. It will matter. It could matter to those that are alive then. I'm talking about to us. 100 years from now, it won't matter to us who was president. But it does matter to us the workings and that which is invested into the church, into the glorious body of Christ.
Right.
Amen. For it is an eternal existence.
Yes, yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
So this is why.
Hallelujah.
At the at the risk of being unpopular, at the risk of being at the risk of someone saying that we are out of touch with that which is relevant. Amen. I disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The most relevant thing is that which is perpetual.
That's right.
And none of this that's going on right now around us is perpetual.
None of it.
Amen. And I don't know why we place so much, we place the prioritized interest on the time, and we do not place the emphasis on eternity.
Mm-hmm.
When eternity has no beginning and has no end, and time has both a beginning and an end, and yet our focus and our aims and our aspirations, our hope, our happiness is tied up in the sphere of time.
Yeah.
My friend, you need to redirect your priorities on the eternal blessings of God. As Paul writes in the third verse of the first chapter of Ephesians, when he said, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, amen, with a new car, no, with a new house, no, with money in the bank, no, but with all spiritual blessings."
Thank God. Yes.
Where are they located?
In
the heavenlies. And where is that? In Christ. And of course, that's not interesting.
Glory.
Information to many.
It's not.
And because it is not interesting information to many, the ministry said, "Let's not talk about it. Let us deal with subjects that people are interested in."
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, let's look at the history of that. None of Israel were interested in the messages of the prophets.
They weren't.
In fact, they said they stoned them. They said don't come up teaching this. The people of Jesus, they were really not interested in his message. Oh, they were interested in the miracles. They were interested in the healing. They had great interest in being fed. You know, the two fish and five loaves of bread.
Yeah.
Amen. They were interested. And today, that's a very that's very exciting stuff in some quarters, in some areas of ministering. And I know that's a way to draw a crowd. But at the sake of not having a crowd, and at the risk, amen, of quote, being out of touch, of being irrelevant, we dare, amen, to follow the directives of that which has been given information-wise to the church, and that is the valuable truth, the mystery that was revealed to Paul, which is the message and the only message for the church today. So I dare to be boring, and I dare to be out of touch, as long as I'm speaking the truth in love.
Yes, hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah.
All right.
Glory.
As we said last week, the surest method of determining what actually depicts the composition of the new man, because we got the new man mixed up with the old man.
All right, we do.
Someone said Christians are giving the church a bad name. My friend, you cannot give the church, not the true church.
Mm-hmm.
The true church is the body of Christ. You cannot give the body of Christ a bad name. Amen. There are those who misrepresent.
Yes.
And they basically, sometimes we're not good witnesses, testimony-wise,
mm-hmm.
as to what we are.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not giving the body of Christ a black eye.
All right.
Amen. As we've looked into the passages in we see that we were chosen and elected in him before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We were placed into Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The new man was solidified, and he is complete.
Yes.
And what we are in Christ is not a continuous progression, but it is an established fact.
All right.
Amen. So when we speak of a new creation and a new man, we speak of the complete entity.
Yes.
Of what God has brought to fruition,
yes,
as it culminates
yes,
in the glorification.
Yes.
I said, oh, well, we're not glorified. No, manifestation wise, we're not glorified.
Right.
But it is tied to the decree.
Yes.
Whatever God has decreed,
yes,
my friend, it has already come to pass.
Already, God. Already.
You may not
yes,
see it.
Yes.
And we may not realize it,
mm-hmm,
uh-huh,
from the standpoint that it has not been manifested.
Yeah.
But as I said to you before, and I submit to you again, and the scriptures say it, and that's more important,
mm-hmm,
that when we look into the essence of a thing,
mm-hmm,
it is accomplished when God decrees it,
yes, it is,
not when we see it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory.
That's right.
Not when you see it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
It is accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
It is actualized in the decree.
Hallelujah.
And so, this is the good news, and this is the knowledge that we're continuing to convey to God's people,
mm-hmm,
that we walk, amen, according to knowledge,
mm-hmm,
with our hope and our aims and our aspiration and our eyes, as the songs that we sang this morning,
yeah,
turn your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
Focus on Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. They're preaching and teaching about everything else in the church but Jesus. Amen. Or they'll bring him along for the ride. Amen. To sort of like legitimize it. But God's not going for some of the stuff that's being preached from the pulpits today. And endorse that. Amen. What good is it you to know the social, a psychological aspect of something,
mm-hmm,
you don't know anything about salvation,
mm-hmm,
you don't know anything, amen, about the workings of God in your behalf,
mm-hmm,
amen.
There
are many things that are being preached,
yeah,
and yet you can go through Christendom this morning, and there's very little knowledge about justification,
very little,
imputation,
very little,
propitiation,
yeah.
There's very little knowledge about regeneration. Very, 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 very little knowledge about the eternal workings of those things that pertain to the most important thing about you.
Yes.
And that's your salvation.
Yes.
Whatever happens or doesn't happen in this world, you have a one life.
Yes.
It will soon pass.
Yes.
And only that which is in the concerning your relationship as a member of the body of Christ is going to last. You don't take anything, amen, that you're associated with in this world. You don't take it out. Naked you came in. Naked you're going out. Amen. But you do, amen. Hallelujah. If you're the elect of God, abide in the hope of that which you already had. You didn't know it, but now you know it. Ooh.
Thank God.
And we labor,
thank
against great odds,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
because most of the messages that are coming from the pulpit,
mm-hmm,
today focus on the physical world around us,
mm-hmm,
and you're not immune from anything. You're not immune from an automobile accident. You're not immune from any. God has. God has not exempted the children of God from any of the mishaps.
Glory.
So it's not God's will for you to be poor. So if you're poor, there's something.
Oh my God.
Something you're not doing right. If you're struggling with your bills, It's something that you're not doing, and you're not working in the system.
Bring it out, Pastor. Bring it out.
And so what they teach is 5 or 10 ways how to do it. Then the many congregations that's sitting up this morning, they're taking notes. Five ways how to get out of debt. 15 ways how to get your healing. And then some say, not only get your healing, but keep it. Amen. If you live long enough, whatever ailment you got today, if the Lord heals that, something else. Remember Lazarus.
Thank you.
Lazarus got sick and died. I'm talking about after. Jesus resurrected him, but Lazarus is not still alive.
No.
There's no such thing as getting your healing and keeping it.
No.
10 ways to be successful. Successful where? In this life? Somehow, the testimony of those that are around us is not getting through. What man in this world can truly, truly testify that he is completely happy, satisfied, no problems? And I know they teach worry-free, debt-free, problem-free. And that gets me, you know. In the church full of folk, yeah, I'm going to call names. Creflo Dollar. I'll never be broke another day in my life.
Oh,
I mean, this is what we're getting. This is the diet. This is the food we're getting. If that is a reference of success, then Paul was the biggest failure there ever was.
Right.
On one occasion, he writes that we're naked.
Yes, he did.
Hungry.
Yep.
Even to this hour.
This very hour.
Huh?
That's what he said.
Amen.
He made Abraham rich. That was for Abraham.
Bring it out.
But then I don't see caught it anywhere. That Abraham, at any point in his life, lived in a complete state of happiness and bliss.
No.
My friend, we're in a depraved environment.
Yes, we are.
Depraved creation.
Yes, right.
Depravity. Amen. There's only one way out of this. The Lord is going to remove all of this. The Bible speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. I hope cannot be in this earth. And I know this is antithetical to what much of the teaching is. Amen. And I know it's not popular, but we're not concerned about what's popular. We're concerned about what's true.
Glory. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah.
So we will not abandon the truth for the purpose of appealing to the masses.
No.
Just because it's popular. And I know there are many, what they're focused on is supposedly building up a great and successful ministry. You know what successful ministry to them mean? Great crowds of folk, because, and they love that because that means nice sums of money.
Right.
A lot of real estate. And they said, "Woo, this is a successful ministry." And this is what the prophecy in Revelation is talking about as he writes to the church.
Come on.
The very last one. Which lets you know that this is the last day. And he says that you said you are rich. You're sufficient. That you have no need of nothing. But he says, But you are bankrupt. You are poor. You are miserable. You are pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
What is being preached today is pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Why it is pathetic? But Paul said, if we only have hope in this life, we are of all men most pathetic. So the hope and the aim of everything is not the basis of those things that are to be realized in this life. And I'm not saying that we all have jobs. Yes, absolutely. Go to work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And do what you need to do as you're passing through.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But don't let that be your ultimate goal. A career, success, in business, making money. If you become a billionaire, amen. Someone says, so-and-so died a billionaire. I said, no, he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lie. He didn't die a billionaire. He died. The minute he died, he was no longer a billionaire. And so where is our hope? Hope is in Christ. This is why we focus on this part of the scripture. All right. I'm going to give me about 10 minutes and I'm just going to close it out today. How about that? Amen. As we look at the second chapter of Ephesians, everybody turn to it. Again, as we said, the surest method of determining what actually depicts the composition of the new creation of the new man, it entails the consistency of the scriptures. Let's go to the scriptures and see what the scripture says about him and about the body, about the church. And here we have looked before us as we consider the exegetical context of the writings here in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 13 through 15.
Mm-hmm.
It obviously identifies the composition, state, and status of those who are positioned in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Again, verse 15, having abolished in his flesh, this is from the King James, even the law of the commandments
mm-hmm.
contained in ordinances,
yes.
for to make in himself a twain one new man, so making peace. Let's look at the Greek text. The enmity in his flesh, having abolished the law of commandments in decrees, that he might create in himself the two into one new man, making peace. Here we're focusing on what God is doing. That's what the ministry should be about. What has God done? Not what we're doing. Here we have before us the entire makeup of the body of Christ, the church in the dispensation of grace, both Jews and Gentiles. Now, as we look at the 15th verse from the Greek text, and I'm skipping and fast forwarding here a little bit because of the time element, we have here a phrase, making peace. Pion Irenon in the Greek. It is a present participle pion. It is translated making.
Right.
It may also be translated producing,
right.
establishing, and executing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the now peace, Irene, it depicts a state of tranquility. Harmony.
Yes.
Amen. In this light, the phrase clearly indicates that, follow me here, that it is Christ alone
Christ.
Who has produced and established this harmonious relationship of his elect
mm-hmm.
for this dispensation.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Here he has taken both Jews and Gentiles. As we look
mm-hmm.
into several passages, we read from Colossians, we read from Galatians, that in the body of Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile, There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male and female. All of this in the body of Christ, all is lost because the only identification is the head. Amen. We look at the church and we want some identification. We look at the head. I look at you, I don't identify you from your feet. Deacon Gavin walked in the door and I said, oh, that's him because I know those feet. No, I'm looking at the head. So when we look at the church, amen, we look at the head, who is Christ, amen. And in him placing him and putting into operation this body, we can affirm that the law was abolished and he established this peace within the workings of the propitiatory sacrifice of Jesus dying for our sins, his blood being shed, amen, for our sins. And the end is a new creation, the new man. For he must be justified, and he is justified in that which he has done. So this is why our focus is on Jesus. Amen. So when we look at the new man, it is depicting the body of Christ. Amen. Verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 2 reads, "You might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." And many won't even preach about this. This is not where the focus is. In fact, the majority of the preaching either come from the Old Testament, telling some biblical account of some happening that happened, in which they are all important. We're not negating that. Are they into the Gospels, most notably the Synoptic Gospels, and they are dealing with events in the book of Acts, but proportional-wise, there is very little preaching and teaching in the areas of these epistles where he's dealing with the components of salvation. And dealing with the essence of eternity and what God has done in our behalf. That's not exciting stuff to some people. What's exciting to some people, is we give an altar call and we come and we get some oil and we go around and we put it on and we anoint the head, and then some folk are falling out, slain in the spirit, whatever that is. That's pretty heady stuff. That's exciting. It's a feel good trip. In some churches, they know that your problem is not going anywhere. So every Sunday they have the prayer line, and somebody's in the same line for the same help. it's foolhardy, amen. Because that which you're praying for, it just may be that it is God's purpose that abides within you.
Yeah.
Paul said, "I prayed three times, amen, for this this thorn that was in my flesh, amen." And then the Lord basically said to Paul, "Paul, don't pray about that anymore."
That's right.
My grace is sufficient.
My grace is sufficient.
Mm-hmm. My
word. Amen.
I'm not going to move that.
That's what he said. That's it.
Yes. I said, "Ooh, that's harsh." Huh? Well, I said, "Paul, leave that alone."
Yeah.
And there's some things that we need to leave alone. Leave it alone.
Preach it.
Let's focus on the eternal things.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
It'll work out whatever it is.
That's it. Amen.
Whatever it is. I'm sure everybody here can think of some problem that you had maybe a couple years ago, and you thought that thing was going to kill you, but you're here.
Still here.
Aren't you here?
Amen. Yeah, we said barely. No. No, you're here.
Amen.
Things come and things go. I like that expression in the King James, "And it came to pass." That's what it does. It comes and then it passes. Whatever it is.
Amen.
Whatever it is.
Whatever.
whatever.
Yes.
But what we need to do, as I close this morning, is that we need to be continually renewed. Renewed. Turn to back to Colossians 3:10 for 1 second, and then I'll be down in 3 minutes. Renewed. What does it mean by what is preaching and teaching about? Why are you coming to church? Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of Bible study? Mm-hmm. Is just a traditional operation of something that you do because it's a good thing to do? Mm-hmm. What is it about? And then when you shun it, what are you doing to yourself? When you shun to dwell in the Word of God, I know it's not helpful, but is it harmful? Yes, it's harmful.
Yeah.
Huh? When you isolate yourself away from this renewing knowledge, are you doing damage to yourself? Yes. 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 Because your level of maturation is dependent upon this.
Absolutely.
And you know what? You either progress or you digress.
Yes.
You don't stand still.
Mm-hmm.
What the Hebrews write? Paul wrote to the Hebrews concerning the things that we hear. What does it say? That we must continuously hear them. Pay attention to them. Paraphrasing, King James said, give the most earnest heed. Because if you don't, it'll slip, get away from you. You get hung up in some problem down there, and you forget all about Jesus. You're not happy because what you were dependent upon has let you down. But if you will always be happy, look to Jesus.
Yes.
You'll never be disappointed.
Amen.
So it's not old fashioned to preach about the blood of Jesus, about the operations of salvation, about forgiveness of sins, about redemption. That's not old fashioned. That's what's happening.
That's it.
Because on any given day, and I'm not going to get through the day. I'm not going to get where I'm going. On any day.
Yes.
The situations of this life can make you miserable.
That's it.
On any day, you can get frustrated. On any day, anything can happen. There are so many things that can happen and go reverse it to what your expectations are until you should never fall into that mindset. Say, well, this was supposed to happen. Who said it? No, it wasn't supposed to happen if it wasn't in the decree. This is why we stopped and we talked about predestination. Many churches won't teach it. Some say it's a damnable doctrine. Don't teach it. Say we live each day and things happen. It's not in God's hand. I would hate to live in a world
Hallelujah.
That God was not in charge of.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
I would hate to even think about a world. Don't even think about a world that God is not in charge of. So well, the storm came and it killed 100 people. That wasn't God. That was the devil. Well, who's in charge?
Come on. Here.
So well, that instance it was the devil. No, it's not.
Ooh.
The story of Job should teach us something.
Yes.
The devil had to go get permission. And then God set some boundaries.
Yes, he did.
And did you see the devil try to go past those boundaries? No. 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 Absolutely no. So the devil cannot do any more than he's allowed to do. So why would God allow it? Well, see, our problem is we focus on time. And God does not have eternal bliss allocated to time. Right. He has your eternal happiness allocated to eternity. But you can still be happy in time.
Yeah, that's right.
The way to be happy in time is to focus on your eternal blissfulness in eternity.
Woo.
So even if you're broke, you're happy.
Yes.
Even if you're sick, you're happy.
Hallelujah.
If your body's ragged in pain, you're happy.
Yeah.
If you lose a loved one, you're happy.
Lord. Hallelujah.
Because your happiness was not based upon a house, a job, a good health, amen, even loved ones. It is wrapped in time in a man named Jesus. Can you say Jesus this morning? Jesus. It's not just about him. It's all about him. There's nothing else to talk about in the pulpit this morning but him. Oh, hallelujah. And I know they like messages where they say, if you got in the rivers, seem uncrossable. Mountains you can't tunnel through. Everybody say, amen. So God specializes. Doing the impossible. And what we're looking at then is that, Lord, you're going to move this mountain. It might not be God's will to move that mountain.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
It may be he has decreed that in your life for his purpose.
Thank you, Jesus.
So we should get officiated.
Glory.
On the conception that a thing has to be a certain way. And that's the way most of us are. And sometimes when I don't see y'all what's going on, you're miserable. You're frustrated. But I said to you this morning, whatever's frustrating you, it's probably not going to go anywhere. It may, but it may not. And this is why the ministry doesn't focus on things and problems and situations to the end to tell you that God is going to move them. And the ministers should stop teaching that because it brings about frustration. When you pray about this thing and you fast about it, it doesn't go anywhere. What's wrong? It's not God's will for it to be moved.
That's it. Preacher.
And you should leave it alone. Because you can be happy without it.
Yes.
You can be happy with your ailment.
Yes, you can.
You can be happy with your problem.
Mm.
You can be happy with whatever is happening.
Yes.
You can be happy.
Yes.
Amen. You can have joy unspeakable.
Yes.
And full of glory.
Yes.
But it's not based upon the circumstances that are around me. It is based upon the essence of he who is the essence of joy, who is the essence of peace, who is the essence of happiness. I'm speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the center, the nucleus, the heartbeat of your happiness, of your goodness, and it is in the sphere of him. For he is your peace, and he is your joy, and he is your happiness, and he is your aspiration. And so we shall continue to talk about him, because as far as we're able to see in the word, that's the only thing that's going for it. But you know what, there's more than enough. Huh? You say more than enough?
Yes,
huh?
Yes.
Someone said, well, he's not enough. I must have this. No, no. He's more than enough.
Yeah.
Amen. If I don't have anything but Jesus, Amen. There are things in this world that we think we need, amen, and the situations that come along, and sometimes it causes us, amen, to lose these things. We are focusing on something. But I say to you, my friend, as I close, there's only one thing that you should have that you can turn loose, and that's Jesus.
Glory to God.
Essence of our being.
Thank God.
And our existence. And so behind this pulpit, those that stand to preach, as long as I'm pastor anyway,
yes,
there's only one subject. So I'll never get up here on a Sunday morning telling you that my subject is anything for you to turn around and give each other high fives and point and do all that crazy stuff. You don't even have to guess when you come in here. What is the subject?
Jesus.
What's the subject?
Jesus.
The only thing
Hallelujah.
That's worth talking about. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Amen.